It's Monday, June 1st, 2026. I'm Arlene Ford, and reading the front pages of the Hartford Courant and New York Times with me this morning is Lou Morando. Let's take a look at the pictures on the front page of the Hartford Courant. In the first picture, we see Bridget Quinn, who is president and CEO of the Hartford Public Library, as she's showing a new video studio in the library downtown. There was a flood in 2022 on Christmas Eve morning that damaged the area quite severely, and it was closed for 2 years. The next photo that we see a man on a scooter as he's riding past banners showing Iran's past and present leaders Sunday in Tehran. That's it for the photos on the front page of the Courant. Let's now look at the lead story of the day. Sources: Trump toughens potential framework for Iran terms. President frustrated as negotiations to end war drag on. This is out of Washington. President Donald Trump has toughened the terms of a potential framework for a deal to end the war in Iran and has sent those proposed changes back to Iran for consideration, according to three officials. It was not immediately clear what changes had been made to the text of the deal. Trump has been concerned about parts of the potential deal that would include unfreezing funds for the Iranians, two officials said. He has been harshly critical of President Barack Obama for doing the same thing in the more than decade-old agreement that was signed to curtail Iran's nuclear program. Trump has also been frustrated by how long it has taken for Iran to respond to U.S. proposals, one official said. The proposals have been hammered out with the involvement of intermediaries, including from Pakistan. The official added that Trump's changes, a new tougher proposal, were potentially intended to speed up the process by putting pressure on Iran to accept the framework already sent to Iran's supreme leader, Mojaba Khamenei, for approval. Reaching the supreme leader has been difficult, so any changes to the document known as the Memorandum of Understanding could mean additional delays. On Friday, Trump met for 2 hours in the Situation Room with top aides to discuss an end to the war, but left the meeting with no announcement. The framework would effectively end the U.S.-Israeli military campaign against Iran in exchange for Iran lifting its blockade of the Strait of Hormuz, a crucial waterway for oil and gas shipping. The strait was open for trade before the bombing campaign against Iran, which began February 28. Some of the thorniest issues, such as the future of Iran's nuclear program, would be deferred to later rounds of talks. In the West Bank, a Palestinian man was shot and killed by Israeli forces on Sunday at a concrete barrier separating the occupied West Bank from Jerusalem, the Palestinian Health Ministry said. The ministry identified him as 26-year-old Imad Harun Isteya from the village of Salem, east of Nablus. It said Israeli forces shot him in a thigh in Al-Ram town, and he was pronounced dead at the Palestinian medical complex in Ramallah. Footage circulating online showed people carrying his body and climbing down a ladder that had been placed against the wire-topped barrier while traffic continued to roll by and a horn blared. Israeli police said the man tried to unlawfully enter Israel by crossing the barrier. Ishtaya was attempting to cross from the West Bank to Israel. Many people have been shot trying to cross the barrier, including a 44-year-old father who was killed earlier this month. Ishtea previously ran a poultry slaughterhouse in his home village of Salem, financially supporting his ill father. But business deteriorated as an economic crisis hit the West Bank, and he decided to cross into Israel in search of a job, a relative, Nasser Ishtea, told the Associated Press. On his first attempt on Saturday, Israeli security was tight, the relative said, after spending the night with other Palestinians hoping to cross into Israel. Haroun Ishtea tried again on Sunday morning and was shot. He was directly shot with live bullets and died at the hospital, Nasser Ishtea said. An increasing number of Palestinians from the West Bank have tried to enter Israel illegally to work in recent years. Tens of thousands of Palestinians had held Israeli work permits, but access was sharply restricted after the attack by Hamas-led militants on southern Israel on October 7, 2023, sparked the war in Gaza. Since then, unemployment in the West Bank has surged amid an economic slowdown, and around 50 workers have been killed by Israeli fire, with over 38,000 arrested, though many were later released, the Palestinian official Wafa news agency reported Sunday, citing the General Federation of Palestinian Trade Unions. In Gaza, two Palestinians were killed and at least 10 injured when a group of people was struck near the port in Gaza City, according to Shifa Hospital, which received the casualties. There was no immediate comment from Israeli military. A fragile ceasefire remains in place between Israel and the Iran-backed Hamas militant group in Gaza. And in the West Bank, emergency responders said a 17-year-old Israeli girl was seriously injured and a 15-year-old was hurt in what police also described as a ramming attack near a bus stop at Gush Etzion Junction. Israel's military said a soldier eliminated the terrorist on site. It also said a third Israeli civilian was hurt. American allies warn division weakens deterrence and calls for global unity. This is out of Singapore. American allies stressed the need for unity at a top defense conference Sunday, saying that as threats increasingly transcend regions, cooperation is more important than ever, even as Washington has become more critical of its traditional friends. President Donald Trump has been extremely harsh about NATO, and the comments at the Shangri-La conference came the day after U.S. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth again chided Western European allies at the forum for not devoting enough resources to defense. Japanese Defense Minister Shinjiro Koizumi praised Hegseth for his comment to the Indo-Pacific, but at the same time, Koizumi stressed the continued need for strong conditions globally. Division weakens deterrence, unity strengthens deterrence, he told the conference, hosted by the International Institute for Strategic Studies. If gaps emerge among the United States, Europe, and allies, and like-minded countries, forces which take it as an opportunity will surely come in, he said. We must prevent such a situation. We must keep our cooperation going on. Now is the time to make our cooperation even stronger. As China has been rapidly expanding and modernizing its military, Japan has been reshaping its own defense policy. Last month, Prime Minister Sanae Takichi's cabinet scrapped a ban on lethal weapons exports, a major change in its post-war pacifist policy. China criticized the change, with Foreign Ministry spokesperson Gio Jakun saying China would resolutely resist Japan's reckless moves toward a new type of militarism. Koizumi scoffed at that accusation as ironic coming from China. He said that transparency comes from the discussion and dialogue and lamented that China had not sent its defense minister to the conference. On Sunday, Philippines Defense Minister Gilberto Teodoro Jr., whose country has clashed repeatedly over competing maritime claims with China, told a small group of reporters that he wasn't concerned with the change in tone from his most important ally. The situation with the United States is different than that from the Philippines, he said. They can talk to China that way in a position of parity, if not superiority, while the Philippines cannot. He added, however, that he had no intention of following suit. If China doesn't change its behavior, my tone won't change, he said. ICE detention site will be open to visitors, New Jersey governor says. Federal officials will allow visitors back inside the Delaney Hall Immigration Detention Center in Newark, New Jersey, Governor Mike Sherrill of New Jersey said Sunday, after a second straight night of clashes between protesters and law enforcement outside the center. The detention center, which is overseen by U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, also known as ICE, suspended visitation last week as tensions escalated during protests over living conditions for detainees. The situation reached a boiling point late Saturday when protesters threw projectiles, fought over barricades, set fires, and scuffled with officers from the New Jersey State Police Department and the Newark Police Department, who were there to secure the area. Cheryl again urged demonstrators to remain peaceful early Sunday outside the Delaney Hall. Newark Mayor Roz Baraka imposed a curfew early Sunday around the facility. I do not know why these individuals attacked or what they wanted to accomplish, but I refuse to let these dangerous actions detract from New Jersey's dedication to ensuring public safety, keeping people safe from ICE, and that the people detained inside Delaney Hall are treated with dignity, Cheryl said in a statement early Sunday, referring to Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Hours earlier, Cheryl made a similar plea, urging demonstrators to bring the temperature down to avoid escalating immigration enforcement operations and endangering the lives of detainees and other immigrants in the state. Cheryl criticized the intrusion of extremist groups and demonstrators from outside the state, who she said had been interfering in the protests and distracting from the ultimate goal of improving conditions inside the detention center and eventually closing it. A standoff Friday night resulted in the arrest of six demonstrators, four of whom had traveled from New York and one from Pennsylvania. The state police had assumed control of the area after negotiating the withdrawal of federal agents in hope of restoring order. To the people coming from out of state to create chaos and dangerous situations, you should not be here, Cheryl said. You are not helping the people detained at Delaney Hall. You are not helping detainee families, and you're certainly not helping keeping New Jersey safe. Late Saturday, protesters pressed together against police barricades and shields, wielded makeshift shields of their own, and at times struggled with officers for control of metal fencing. Police later deployed tear gas and flashbang grenades as they sought to disperse the crowd. Officers in riot gear formed shield lines outside the detention center, while mounted troopers and officers on foot worked to push demonstrators back. Around midnight, dozens of state troopers and Newark police officers sealed off Doremus Avenue at the detention center. Just after midnight, Baraka issued a curfew covering a half-mile area around the detention center. The restrictions remained in effect nightly from 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. until further notice. A public safety alert announcing the curfew was sent to residents' cell phones at 12:30 a.m. Sunday. Probe ordered in use of city funds. Ansonia investigating credit card use, ex-mayor's attorney claims smear campaign. Officials in Ansonia are working with an outside law firm to investigate what they have described as potential misappropriations of city funds, which could lead to a criminal investigation and a civil matter. The decision to hire the Crumby Law Group to investigate the potential misuses involving city credit cards and other resources was approved by the Board of Aldermen during a special meeting on Wednesday. The board passed a motion to launch the investigation at the request of Mayor Frank Tizza, who defeated Republican incumbent David Cassetti in November after he served six terms. Tizza said a preliminary investigation began at the beginning of the year after he took office, when the city's corporation council was instructed to review credit card charges and other potentially inappropriate uses of public resources. During a preliminary review of 3 years of changes, Tizza said there were irregularities found, leading to Corporation Council recommending that the review be expanded and handed over to an independent firm that specializes in this issue. Tizza said this independent investigation will determine the full scope of any potential misuse of taxpayer funds and allow for recommendation on potential legal actions. He said the probe would lay out the facts for the public and any appropriate authorities, which could potentially lead to a criminal investigation and civil action to recoup misappropriated funds, as well as interest and investigative and lawyer fees. I promised you when I ran for mayor I would put Ansonia's financial house back in order and would focus on transparency and accountability, Tizza said before the board. I care about the city, he added. That's why we're here. When asked about the potential cost of the independent investigation, Tizza said he did not know what the retainer fee would be and that the investigation costs need to be negotiated. He said a full investigation would allow for officials to get any potential lost taxpayer money back and hold anyone who took advantage of you, our taxpayers, accountable. When pressed by a board member for further details about the irregularities found in the preliminary review, Tizza would only say there's areas of concern. I'll leave it at that, he said, adding that he did not have specific numbers when asked if the potential losses were in the range of hundreds, thousands, or even hundreds of thousands of dollars. Tizza also would not say whether the possible allegations involve current or former city employees. He declined to comment when reached Friday, saying the investigation will be ongoing. Attorney Rob Serafinowicz, who represents the former mayor, said he believes it's very clear that the investigation is targeting Cassetti. He's trying to couch his language to avoid a defamation lawsuit, Serafinowicz said. That pretty much is clear to me. There was no misuse of any city funds, Serafino added. It's a personal dispute. According to Serafinowicz, the dispute goes back several years when Cassetti had Tizza removed as a member of the city's police commission. I think the entire situation is questionable, Serafinowicz said, and is based on a political dispute that goes back years. I really think the fact that he won't mention his name shows how weak the situation is from their perspective, and it's him trying to avoid a defamation lawsuit or a slander lawsuit.